Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Sun International Results Presentation. All participants will be in listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity to ask questions later during the conference. If you should need assistance during the call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero. Please note that this call is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to Sun International. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. It's Anthony Leeming here, and Norman Basthdaw, the CEO and CFO of Sun International. Thanks for joining us. Obviously, it's a very difficult time for all of us. We will try and get through quickly. I think we know what's on everyone's mind. We'll cover, first of all, just obviously our strategic objectives, our key highlights, and move quite quickly. I mean, we've taken numbers largely as read. If there's anyone has specific questions, they're welcome to send us emails or ask some questions now, but I think we'll deal with the key issues. I think obviously if you look at the group income, up 4% to 17.2 billion. Group adjusted EBITDA up 1% to 4.6 billion. And the group operating profit up 6% to 3 billion. If you look at adjusted headline earnings, they're up 109%. This was diluted obviously by the increased number of shares from the rights issues, with diluted HEPS up 91% to 605 cents per share. If we look at the key themes of the year, obviously, it was, you know, just open profit from South Africa up 15%, which was a key highlight for us. Times Square and Sabaya was exceptional growth. We've got the data there in terms of the market share growth, in terms of the revenue as well. Alternate Gaming, adjusted EBITDA up 25%. That's Sun Slots and Sun Bet, both continue to grow strongly. We look at accelerated de-gearing. We managed to generate 1.9 billion free cash flow. That's before debt service costs. And South Africa and LATAM leverage reduced with ample headroom. So we really have good de-gearing. Our debt covenants have come down and strengthened the balance sheet quite nicely. Drive efficient optimization, our EBITDA margin in South Africa improved to 29% at 1%. A lot of the effort that's gone in the last few years in terms of the projects we have has started to deliver, and it's clearly shown in the margin. Is there more room? I think there's still a little bit more room, definitely. A lot of things still to be done and to get right, but we've put the building blocks in place, made sure our schedule on management, our reporting is all a lot better, and that will enable us to manage the business a lot more efficiently. We simplified the head office and the operation model here at head office. I think the key here is we focus around the customer. We really see ourselves as having three different distinct customer groupings, the one being the hotel and leisure, the next being the gaming, and the third being the alternate gaming, being the LPMs and the Sunbet. And that's where the head office has been restructured. There was some cost savings, and there will be quite substantial, and that will come through mostly in the next year. Obviously, we have stopped placing heads, so some have been recognized in the current year, and some will still come through. We've been dealing with challenging units. I think you've seen the Sun City, result isn't obviously great, but I think if you consider that the revenue decline, EBITDA, the cost savings literally were kept in line. So costs were kept in line with the prior year, and so we managed to hold the impact of the lower revenues without really impacting further down the line. Carousel has been restructured, significantly downscaled. We'll come back to it a bit later. And the board will restructure, which literally we've had approval from the gaming. When I say the gaming board, let's say that's the external non-execs, approval for 18 months. But no sign-off from the actual gaming board with the same name, but that's the executive management in terms of our structures, which has delayed the process. We now have the approval, and we should start that. It has been started. We've made some really good investments. I think if you look at the key minority stakes acquired, Sabaya, really look at it compared to 219 EBITDA, the 5x multiple, has been a growing asset and continues to do so. So really, you know, acquiring an additional 24% of Sabaya, we think at a great price and a good time. Obviously, we've also busy with acquisition of 30% of Sun Slots. Again, with the growth and everything else, it's also looking just around about a 5x multiple. We'll get gaming board approval. There's still some outstanding, and we're waiting for those. When we look at the governance side, I mean, we have, we focus really on strengthening our business in terms of our guest experience, and we invest in our people and strengthening our business. So when you look at the board has been structured, and we are still looking at the board and making sure that we have the right board and the right experience and right skills mix to take some substantial forward. Just looking at more specific key highlights, When you look at South African trade environments, we all know the environment's been difficult. It hasn't been an easy year for us, but nevertheless, we've managed to grow income by 2% to 11.5 billion. And the big issue is really adjusted EBITDA increased by 5% to 3.3 billion. And this is despite a lot of increasing costs, all over the show in terms of water, lights, payroll, and everything. So it really has been trying to get efficient, having to insource over 2,500 people from the external service providers or labor brokers in late 2018. So we had to deal with a lot more labor, a lot more issues. So we managed to still generate more EBITDA, which I think is really shows the cash ability and the generation of our business. Just EBITDA margins, as I mentioned, improved from 28 to 29%. We simplified and we mentioned the South African head office. There has been quite some reduced headcount savings. If we look at the operational and the really impacted staff, it's about a 30% cut at head office of about 60 people. If you look at the other people at head office, there's a lot of, we have call center, we have shared service, we have payroll, shared service does all the finance accounting. We have Fusion, which is the in-house creative agency. So there really are just, functions that would either be in the units or here and are actually adding value to the business. And then there's also our sales and call centers I mentioned. If you look at the balance sheet strength in South Africa, debt reduced from 9.2 billion to 8.8 billion. That could either have a covenant of 2.8. But if you actually exclude the amount paid for Sabaya, the 24% in Sabaya, our covenant would have been down at 2.6. So it just shows you again, from 3 to 2.6 would have been a covenant. De-gearing is really happening quite fast and with a good cash generation. Debt to adjusted EBITDA, I mentioned 2.6. We successfully refinanced our debt. We had over 50% oversubscribed to the banks, and we managed to reduce the cost of funding in that process. We've also benefited from some of our hedges unwinding that were put in place 3 or 4 years ago, and we have in low rates. That was from September last year, as well as obviously the drop in the repo rate has benefited us towards the end of the year and will benefit this year as well. In Latin, the debt reduced from 4.9 to 3.9 billion. Some of that's exchange rates related. The peso has weakened against the rand. It's all peso debt. So probably about 10% of that depreciation is around, or maybe a little less, but 7-8% is around the peso depreciation, and the rest is cash generation. So net debt to EBITDA reduced from 3 to 2.6 times. And then in Chile, our funding costs are already low, and they have cut rates recently, so we're sitting probably about 5% funding cost in Chile. So Africa, interest paid reduced by 163 million year on year. Group effective tax rates reduced to 33%. The key there is obviously getting that Times Square deferred tax recognized based on the profitability of the business, based on the lower interest expense and looking forward, showing that it will generate taxable profits. Post the transaction, the minority and obviously fund stocks this year, minority leakage of dividends will reduce, and so we'll have more cash to repay debt and ultimately try and get down to the point where we're paying dividends. Times Square, really a solid performance, income up 15% at 1.4 billion, just EBITDA increased 42% to 452 million, and operating margin up to 32%. We're still working a lot of things to try and obviously leverage the margin up a bit, and also get the EBITDA higher. So if you look at the second half, it's about 250 million on a run rate. The casino market share to date this year is up at 16%, and that's up from 13.6% in December 2018. So this year it's up at 16% and continues improvement. We think there's still more opportunity for market share growth, and as we get into the market, we certainly believe we'll grow a bit more there. Sabaya has been a phenomenal performance, and it's a difficult one to give the exact reasons, but I think a lot of the strategy around Sabaya, why it is where it is, the market was moving north. Sabaya has become a more of a mass market, Suncoast, mass market. I think a lot of customers come there for the more individual attention, and really the customer service improves. So we've managed to probably gain a little bit of market share towards the end of the year. And the margin improvement has also been phenomenal, so generating 496 million of EBITDA at a 36% margin. Sunspots, really reached critical scale and is a meaningful contributor to the group. We've had double-digit growth for the last 3 years in both revenue and EBITDA, and we still see more opportunity for growth there, particularly in the Western Cape, where we've got some more positions to roll out. And as you know, the Western Cape's got the highest hold per machine. I'm sure it will be diluted a bit, but there's no doubt we're going to capitalize a lot more and grow revenue when we roll out the new machines, and that will add, obviously, to revenue and EBITDA. So income increased by 82%. This is on Sunbet. You know, Sunbet, we spoke about the platform we put in place in 2018, and that's about August. It really is a difference. When you speak to some of our customers, it's probably they rate it as the best platform out there. The ability to transact is really good. We still got a few issues there, so we achieved 82% growth in revenue to 140 million, and in EBITDA we went from 8 million to 44. We have got a bit of catch up. This growth has caught us a bit by surprise, so we strengthen our call center and improving our service and making sure we don't drop any balls there. But so a little bit of catch up, we might have to incur a little bit of cost, but it's still showing good growth in January and February. And we're really positive about the online sports betting business, and particularly our platform and our brand. In South Africa, we spoke about the Sabaya transaction and the minority slots. Both of them at about a 5x EBITDA, historical EBITDA multiple. LATAM, the Thunderbird assets, probably performing a little bit behind expectations, but I think the thing that hit us there is the 5% additional gaming tax that was put in place in January last year. The industry's still fighting it. It's still got to go to court. You know, we think there's a realistic chance that this will be done away with. It's not the first time they've tried this, and they always end up taking it away, but we're still going through that process. And as you know, the disposal of 50% of some dreams and the merger of Kerberos was not concluded. I think the merger was kind of dependent on the disposal, and the disposal didn't reach long stop date, and then with all the circumstances around the riots and everything else, you know, things in Chile have ground to a halt and got quite difficult at the moment. Sun City turnaround strategy, you know, we've done a comprehensive review of Sun City. It really has the ability to do a lot better than it has. We've strengthened our management team. You know, we get criticized that, you know, we've tried a lot of turnaround plans, but for the first time, I think we've got a strong management team, both centrally and at property level. We'll come touch us soon, the appointment of Graham Wood in terms of the hospitality space, and there's already a difference. We're getting every single conference so far this year, we got a complimentary letter how well it was done and how people loved it. And it is starting to turn around. The gardens, the grounds, everything's in great shape, and there's a lot of opportunity for cost savings still, and we believe revenue growth. But clearly, obviously, it's quite a difficult period economically from South Africa, and then looking forward, we'll get to a little bit later. So senior management team strengthened. Cascades Rooms referred will be completed in October 2020, and we're busy with the Palace Rooms mock-up. We have done some rooms, but we want to do them a little bit better, and that's really to try and target the top end and in line with the Table Bay. Boardwalk Mall, the shopping mall development is progressing well. We've got sign-up of all major tenants, including Woolies, Chicks, ShopRite, Discam, Clicks. So there's a lot of retailers. I think they see this really as a great opportunity, it's a great position, and there's not many available for this kind of mall. So the mall is anticipated to commence in 2020. You know, watch the space. I think we've got to make sure this happens with the current environment. But certainly, but all parties are still very positive on the mall as late as yesterday. Empoloni will realize 93 million and it basically reinvest 63 million for a third equity share. We're not putting any debt in from the balance sheet of Sun International. It's all on a non-recourse basis, and we'll have a third of the shopping mall for the long run. Wildcat license renewal, the process has been ongoing. We've been dealing with some really little issues with the gaming board trying to resolve. They don't have options, so they've extended 31 March. We're very confident they're going to extend shortly, and there'll be a 20-year extension on the Wild Coast. We know about the Chile social unrest. I'm not going to spend too much time, but our trading was severely impacted October, November. We estimate 50 to 60 million rand EBITDA impact. We had damaged our property in Valdivia, and mainly it was the main one that was damaged in terms of the riots being so close to the property. It really is the epicenter of where the problems were happening. And then, you know, in December, we actually had pretty good results. So I think trading recovered reasonably quickly. You know, the talk is this is a small element of people causing trouble, and I believe the security authorities in the country have sort of penetrated. They know that there's a left-wing element that's even been paid to do this, which they're trying to resolve. And it is not the majority of the population. So we hope that comes under control shortly. Just moving to page 9, you know, you can see the Times Square graph. You can see it's quite volatile. This is an 8-week moving average. You know, when I spoke to you last time in August, I think it was at that peak point. It came off a bit, but I think, you know, with a bit of tables volatility mainly, our activity in the month of September was still good. But if you look currently, you know, if you put a straight line through there, you know, the market share is still growing. We've gone from in January 2019 to 16% at the end of the year, 2018 to 16%. So still very good growth and obviously a very big market. And good market share growth. You can see there in 2018 we'd achieved 13.6, 2019, 15.1 in average, and in 2020, so far to date, and that's, I think, to just at the end of Feb, we were at 16% of the market. Just, I've got a graph there in terms of the SunBet accelerated customer acquisition. I think the key around, obviously, online business is acquiring customers and obviously retention, but you can see the ramp up has been significant and continues to grow. So we've having a lot of first time depositors, a lot of sign-ups, and this market is definitely growing, and that it's not really tailing off. It's still showing some good growth in 2019. Obviously, if there's no sport on, don't expect this to really continue, because clearly there needs to be something to bet on at the moment. Nearly everything's dried up. The horse racing industry is still running, so there's still some. We're even having people betting on sumo wrestling and table tennis. Just, I think, one of the key issues, you know, the leadership team, we've just appointed Glenn Joseph. You know, Glenn has a lot of experience in gaming business. He's a financial background, but moving into operations for a long period of time. He really is rated highly, and we're excited to have him on the team. He's joining literally from today, and we really think we've got a strong operator in Glenn. And I mentioned Graham already. I think we all know Graham. Graham really learned the ropes at Sun City and then moved into the corporate office in terms of operating our hotel resorts, and it really is a top-class leadership team that we have at Sun. And we're excited that these two will make a big difference, particularly at the operating level. I think, you know, a lot of the other strategic and near-term strategic objectives, the table values renewal is obviously critical. We're going to hear shortly at the end of this month what's going to happen there. Clearly, the focus is to secure the complete the boardwalk mall developments. We need to monitor the regulations. So I'm on page 13. The tobacco bill, national gaming bill, the Western Cape relocation bill, there's really been nothing happening. So we monitor it. We are obviously trying to meet with GTI and talk about these things, particularly on the National Gaming Bill and Tobacco Bill and in the Western Cape. But there hasn't been a lot of movement. And I guess in the current environment, there won't be much movement for a little while longer. We're going to focus on the balance sheet de-gearing, so strong cash flow, continue to drive deleveraging. You know, looking forward, we really are showing quite good deleveraging, and we've seen it in the last year in the amount of cash generated by the business and the ability to reduce debt. Disciplined investment in CapEx, a huge focus around CapEx and making sure that it is in the right area and for the longer term it makes sense. Reduction of minority interest will reduce dividend leakage, and that also assists with deleveraging. These have been acquired at really good multiples, and the dividend cash flows are very good out of these businesses, which will really help deleveraging. Shared service center, I mentioned earlier, will be rolled out by Q3 2020. We need a bed down central office. The restructure was sort of completed December, January. We have some vacancies and some gaps because of non-replacement and some critical skills. But holistically, there's a good saving here and just bedding down practices and everything else and all that we're working together is really the focus. Operating metrics will continue to be critically assessed. I think our benchmark exercise helped us achieve a lot of savings. We're going to continue to unpack, continue to compare, continue to look for opportunities, and it's going to become a standard across the group. So profit improvement plans is definitely the talk. And there's still opportunities here. There's some further work on optimizing our tax and cash flow efficiencies. I think we achieved a bit this year, and you can see it in the tax recognized, but we still believe there's some further work to be done where we can benefit from tax efficiencies, where we have some losses, making sure we have the cash in the right place, and certainly a lot of work's going in there as well. Underperforming units, we've got to deal with aggressively. So Sun City turnaround strategy is being executed. It's in the process. There's a lot of good things happening. And that starts it starts at the sales cycle. So, we were probably taking 3 days to a week to get turnaround on quotes and big conferences. We've changed to 8 hours is our target. And these are all things that will really, you've got to get that right before you actually get on property. On property service has changed, and it's a multifaceted approach from the initial inquiry stage all the way through to the execution at property level. Operations like Naledi and Carousel, I mentioned Carousel, although we restructured Carousel, it's still marginal, and if not the property with CapEx, and we will make a decision on that shortly. Naledi, I'm going to say here, is heading foreclosure. What's happened there, we've got exclusivity in Bloemfontein, and I don't see options around Naledi, but we obviously have to start engaging on that. So we have exclusivity in Windmill from EBTs and from casinos. for which we paid $20 million, and that gives us exclusivity, and we can now not worry about them relocating to Bloom. Nigeria and Swaziland operations, you know, we're in the process of a transaction on Nigeria. We're not holding our, we're holding our hopes, but it's a long process, and we're making progress. Swaziland is a massive problem. We're still battling with the king, but we have some options there. It's not costing us. We've told them we're not putting more money in, so it's not going to cost us money. We continue to explore options for Panama. We have got it for sale. We are looking some. We've had some sort of underpriced offers, but we're going to accelerate that and make sure we get rid of Panama as soon as possible. And then continue to drive margin improvements throughout the group. If you look at investments in quality assets for growth, I mean, I think, you know, we know Sunstock's acquisition, it really is a good asset. We'll continue looking for other acquisitions. I think you all know there's one for sale with GPI needing to close. We will consider that when the time is right for us. It is a good opportunity, and we're certainly looking at it, but the timing needs to be right for us. Exploring online gaming in LATAM, we have started with an opportunity in Peru, our own operations based off the Sunbet model, so it should be quite easy to start up and go. It's in LATAM, in Brazil, in Argentina and Peru, they're talking about online gaming and online sports betting, and licenses are shortly to be allowed. We have an online sports betting license in Panama. We might start that as well soon. Just to improve the guest experience, I can tell you there's an enormous amount of work going on here, and everything from food and beverage. You all know we went to the strategy at one stage of insourcing. A lot of that has been unwound, and that was about five, six years ago. The proof is, you know, these outside operators operate food and beverage really well. You need to be on site, on property, dealing with the customer, dealing with the staff, and they really have a different attitude. So we are in the process of, and we have already at Times Square outsourced a number of restaurants that we had insourced previously, and that is already making a difference. We suddenly get rental, and we're not making losses. Same thing at Sun City. There's a couple of restaurants that we are busy looking to outsource, and we'll probably, again, reduce losses and actually generate positive rentals. And then super focus on key refurbishments. You know, we haven't got the capex ability to do a lot, so the focus on doing the right properties, right time, and at the right level is critical, and I think there's a big focus there. Our people are critical, and it's one of the most important areas that we focused on. We really are looking at every single facet, so reward and recognition programs, the Sun Academy, which we spoke about before, and staff training is critical, and the one issue on our people is that we entered a third year of a wage agreement. So that was agreed when I think first took over. Next year, we are starting to negotiate for next year now. I think leadership and governance, I did touch on it. Obviously, Jarvin Boozer as chairman, he really has extensive experience in the industry and is already adding significant value in that capacity and insight in terms of his knowledge and deep understanding of the business and particularly our industry. Our remuneration policy has been revised based on the shared input, and I think some of you would have been spoken to already by some of the directors, and we will put that to vote shortly. It is linked to return on capital returns in terms of the share incentive schemes. So we have a return on capital and a growth in adjusted headline earnings. And I think the metrics are right and in line with what shareholders have requested. We're staying level our level 1B, and we created a focus group in terms of Stanley Hub. So I'll move on quickly. And I don't know on the financial view how much we want to cover. I think the numbers are self-explanatory. Yeah. But let Norman quickly touch on a few highlights.
Thanks, Anthony. So just to first up discuss some of the factors that you know had a bearing on our results. During this year, in terms of IFRS 16, we adopted IFRS 16. We reported it first in our June 2019 interim results, and for the full year, the profit before tax impact was a $63 million cost. You would have seen we evaluated in the normal course of our reviews. We've looked at the impairments of our assets, and with the Maslow, you know, we realizing the carrying value in terms of IFRS 16 for the Maslow of $264 million. Evaluating the Maslow, we took an impairment of $163 million. In terms of our other assets, we looked at it quite in detail with the auditors. And, you know, the Masla was the only one that we had to take an impairment. If you can recall, last year we took an impairment on Sun City, and we went through that exercise again. Anthony mentioned in terms of the deferred tax assets that we recognize. So we assess the reasonability of the utilization of the assessed losses based on Times Square's positive results. And having gone through that exercise, you know, we were able to recognize the deferred tax assets of 233 million. Now, 192 million of that relates to the prior and 41 million in the current year. The effect of that, you know, gave us the a more reflective tax rate. And as we've indicated, for, you know, the group tax rate is 33%, you know, substantially down from the prior year of around 50%. You know, we get in a much more reflective tax rate now with the recognition of the Times Square deferred tax. We've basically, in terms of Swaziland, last year we recognized it as an asset for sale. In the current year, you know, because of the time it's taking to dispose of that asset, we actually had to consolidate Swaziland again, and we restated 2018, although not a material impact. And Anthony discussed the numbers. Just in terms of our, if I go to our slide 16, and if we look at our group adjusted headline earnings, again, you know, extremely positive and strong result coming through. Our basic earnings was up from a loss of 6 cents in 2018 to a positive of 518 cents. Our headline earnings was up from 213 cents to 603 cents, and our adjusted headline earnings, the 91% increase from 316 cents per share to 605 cents per share. If I just go to slide 18, if we look at where our revenues are generated, 67% still is generated in South Africa. In LATAM, we have 31%. The biggest contributors to our revenue is still our slots business at 58%, and our tables business generates 14%. Sun Slots, our rooms revenues, and F&B business all contribute in the region of about 8%. On slide 18 at the bottom, you know, we've shown you in those graphs how the improvement in our margins, adjusted EBITDA margin improving, you know, in LATAM, due to the rights that we had, and we'll, you know, there had to be some investment in our marketing initiatives that diluted our margin slightly, but I'll pick that up in a couple of slides. If we go to our South African results, in terms of our South African results, income was up 2% to 11.5 billion, and our EBITDA was up 5% to 3.3 billion. We've seen a margin improvement from our EBITDA margin from last year of 27.9% up 3% to 28.8%. So really, you know, all of the cost initiatives and coming through positively in our margin, in our percentages. We've basically looked at, as Anthony indicated, we looked at our business. We've got the focus on our three businesses, our casinos, alternate gaming, and hotels and resorts. And obviously, in those graphs, you can see the margins improvement in our casino business and alternative gaming, and going slightly backwards on in terms of our hotels and resorts in South Africa. So if we look at our results in totality, what's driven that positive outcome in our adjusted headline earnings? As I said, margin improvement was a big driver of that improvement. In terms of our depreciation, we decreased depreciation by 99 million. And part of the process that we went through during the year is we re-looked at quite a few of our assets that were sitting on our records at a zero value, which was still in use, and together with the auditors, we had to reassess use of lives of some of our gaming and IT assets. In terms of our interest, and we spoke about the de-levering, you know, that had had a huge contribution to our positive results, with the level of interest being paid reducing, and then also the cost of our debt reducing from, you know, 9.5% to our current cost of debt in SA at 8.6%. And then obviously the other contributor was the ability for us to recognize the deferred tax asset on Times Square. You know, we've gone through the, Anthony's covered some of the properties, so I'm just going to cover just quickly the three businesses within South Africa. Our gaming income, so our total gaming income wins was up 3% at 9.1 billion. If we split that out and look at our slots income, our slots income was in line with the prior year at 6.2 billion, and we saw an increase in handle, up 3%. So activity increase. Our slots win was down from 5.15% from the prior year to 5.29%. In terms of our tables business, our tables income was up 1% to 1.5 billion, with our drop increasing as well by 2%. However, we did see a slight decrease in our tables, in our hold percentage, from the prior year's 19.72% to the 19.53%. And obviously, we spoke about Sun Slots income increasing by 13% to 1.3 billion. If you look at our rooms business, you know, our total rooms income was down 2% at 1.1 billion. And some of the key contributors to that was, you know, Sun City, as we've indicated, this decline in business from groups and conventions. And also we had a slightly difficult start to the year last year, resulting from the hailstorm damage that was caused in the prior December. So, you know, we weren't able to fully capitalize on our peak period in January because of, you know, some of the damage that the hailstorm caused. You know, in terms of the Maslow, we've seen a slowdown of business travel and increased competition in the Sandton node. Times Square, we've the hotel continues to improve occupancy and room rates. And, you know, as we indicated, that we are targeting an improved market share from the transient and group government business that comes into the mainland node. And, you know, Table Bay, we've seen a good steady recovery from the drop in the foreign tourists, you know, as a result of the drought in the Western Cape in the prior year. If you look at our food and beverage business, our food and beverage income increased by 1% to 1 billion. Our GP margin improved in our food business from the prior year's 13% to 15%. And, you know, we've seen a good improvement in Times Square in its food and beverage business. Its revenue is increasing by 9%, and we've seen a substantial improvement in the GP margin from the prior year of 10% to the current year's 17%. And obviously in places like Sun City and the Maslow, because of the slowdown in business and occupancy, you know, that's come back slightly. Just quickly moving on to LATAM, you know, as we've indicated, the LATAM operations performed below expectation, and I am on slide 20. You know, as a result of the civil protest that erupted across Chile, and that had a material impact on our operations. Our income was up 8%, with comparable income up 1%. So if you take our acquisitions of 2018 Thunderbird and Mendoza in Argentina, yeah, income was up 1%. Our EBITDA decreased by 8%, though. And as I indicated, you know, if we look at our biggest asset there, Monticello, our income was up 4%, but our EBITDA decreased by 6%. And as I indicated, mainly due to the impact of the civil protest and then increased marketing and promotional activity to attract some of our key customers back to our property. In Peru, we were impacted by the additional taxes you know, dampened that business. If I move on to the next slide, the capital allocation in terms of CapEx, you know, we set it out in detail, you know, and, we, you know, again, quite prudently looking at our CapEx. In terms of our debt position, Anthony spoke to that at length, but we've seen some extremely good gearing. We are well within our bank covenants, and both here in South Africa and in LATAM, with good cash generation of last year. In the next slides on 25 and 26, we've basically set up the waterfall. In 26, you can see the free cash that we generated at 1.9 billion, clearly highlighted, it, and also to point out that we did do the investment in Sabaya. In the next page, we set out our cash, our LATAM cash flow. Again, positive free cash generated there for about 600 million. Okay, so I'm just going to hand back to Anthony to conclude, and then we can go through to Q&A.
Yeah, look, I mean, I know everyone what's looking forward is probably the most important issue. Now, I'm on page 52. And these things are so fluid at the moment with coronavirus. So, I mean, we always expected tough trading conditions this year in South Africa and LATAM. With the potential impact of regulatory changes from smoking ban, gaming taxes, and license relocations was always something we were having to focus on. And then the SEJ license renewals, which are critical. Literally last week, Monday, they published the new real renewal terms. The view is it favors the incumbent significantly. With the current environment, we don't see too many people competing in abstract, if any. And that would mean we probably could renew quite easily. But I'll throw in, obviously, I'm going to talk to the coronavirus pandemic. Look at business fundamentals, defenses over the long term, strong cash flow generation, attractive margins with scope for optimization, disciplined investment and quality opportunities, and improving adjusted EBITDA to AF flow through. So, again, very good flow through we've seen this year. And certainly, as the de-gearing happens, the growth is going to be just continued. I think the big thing is, and most people and all the journalists, the only thing they were interested in was the impact of Corona on our business. It started probably about 3 or 4 weeks ago with cancellations in hotels, and it ramped up fairly quickly from what we expected to be sort of 30 million on the books to literally all conferences being cancelled, as you all know, now the travel ban, no international travelers coming in. It will obviously spill over into some leisure, although we do believe leisure will be a little bit of opportunity, a local leisure, I should say, at the moment, where the international is going to be under immense pressure and going to come and will be none at the moment. So for that side, it really has hit quite quickly on the sort of hotel side. On the casino side, we held up okay. I mean, it was tough trading conditions, weren't great, until obviously Sunday night and the president's speech. And that has resulted in noticeable impact on footfall. It's very early days to see how big, how small, will our big customers come, will they still come? It's so early, we don't know. But the kind of things we've done, obviously the health and hygiene side, is a given. I'm not going to even talk to it. We've done everything that you can possibly do and continue to do so. There are other sort of more plans we've put in place. If activity levels drop, we're looking, like has been done elsewhere, to turn off every second slot machine, to limit the number of people on tables, and to ensure there's no loitering so customers can feel safe and the environment is safe. In terms of what probably people think, casinos are more than 100 people, the way we read the president's speech, and we are waiting for the regulations that's going to be passed, we said entertainment venues and shopping centres must up to hygiene. We've done that. They're not considered gatherings in our view. We've done a lot of work on this to see is it gatherings. But regardless, we have to be responsible and make sure there isn't too many people. So we've stopped large-scale draws, things like that to attract customers and that attract a lot of crowds. We've kind of stopped. We're making sure our restaurant spacing and our numbers in our restaurants are reduced to around about 90 people. So you can have 10 to staff at 100 in total. So we're doing all those things to ensure that the environment is there's enough space for people to have social spacing. We're looking at creches, closing creches to make sure that, again, from a precaution perspective, it's not being spread wildly, and doing all we can. So at the same time, we've suspended CapEx, and we've suspended all sort of any sort of projects and non-essential spend. We're going through that process still. We're reducing all our labor where we have the flexibility to 120 hours and various other issues. So we are in the stage. It is obviously crisis management time. I'm not going to have all your answers. If you can ask me how much money we have and how long it's going to take, we're in the process of doing all that. But we do believe we can manage through a reasonable sort of difficult period and come out strong enough at the other side. So the business is sound. It is still cash positive. It is, but it's changing day to day. And we're watching it very closely, and we're doing all we can. I think, you can ask me all questions you want on Corona, but probably more than that, it's difficult to say. We have obviously upped our communication to customers, to staff, and all those sort of issues which we're doing, and then we'll continue to do so. But each day brings some new challenges and new decisions. You get customers that are upset for us for staying open. You get customers that are upset for us for closing. So we're dealing with a bit of everything at the moment. I'm going to open for questions. I know it's, if anyone's got any questions, I think you get ordered, and then you'll be, I think that's how it works, and then the questions will be asked. Okay.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please press star, then 1 on your touch-tone phone or on the keypad on your screen. If you decide to withdraw the question, please press star, then 2 to remove yourself from the list. Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then 1. We will pause to see if there are any questions. The next question is from Abhishek Arnichard from Sanlam. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Anthony and Norman, just two questions from my side. Just remind us, please, the issues affecting the Wild Coast license. I know it has nothing to do with the local community. We can just refresh our minds on that. And the second question, how has the Times Square market share now panned out versus the actual model assumptions when the project was undertaken? Thanks.
Okay. On Wild Coast, the issue really, it's we got the two local communities as shareholders. It really is a bit of give and take here and dealing with the gaming board, which some really finer details. They basically approved our bid. Everyone wanted two minor things changed in the sort of management agreement, and we're in the process of finalizing that. So it's nothing too serious. They've got another bidders. I'm pretty certain within the next couple of weeks it's going to be finalized, and I have to get onto that quite soon after this call. But we seem to be aligned in broad principle on everything, and it's about to be concluded. If I look at Times Square,
what is the feasibility?
The feasibility, percentage, we were looking at to get about 18% of the market. We're sitting currently at 16. So we off the feasibility. There's no doubt we're a little shy. So ultimately, I think we can close the gap a little bit further. I mean, our sort of targets are really to get up to the 16 points, closer to the 17 this year, but certainly above 16. So that's the focus. The market hasn't grown as strongly. So if we start looking at the targets, we got 16% of a smaller market, and even if we had 18, we'd be 18% of a smaller market. So then the lack of growth. If you look at EBITDA, I think I was estimating about 800 million. I think on a rolling basis, a 6-month rolling basis, we're on about 500 currently. So again, well off. But we have got the management fees coming through to the center, which are up, I think around about 100 million, a little bit more than 100 million. So from a contribution, it is contributing, but it's behind feasibility.
Thank you.
The next question is from Khosi Rahube from Citi. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, Anthony and Norman. Thank you for the opportunity. If I could just maybe ask the first question around Latin America. Can you maybe quantify the amount of inventory that you have at your properties, obviously restaurants, etc., and what you anticipate the wastage to be during this closure?
When you say amount of inventory, what do you mean by inventory?
Well, I mean just stock at your restaurants.
Stock levels at restaurants is pretty small. I mean, we don't have it's not a huge amount. So obviously perishables are an issue. We'll probably donate to charity, but most of the stuff will be drinks, alcohol, which will last. So the perishables we'd have to watch, but I don't think it's not massive numbers.
Okay. And then, in terms of the actual closure, I think either you spoke about obviously rescheduling the employees, etc. But I mean, in terms of your fixed costs, like, can you just maybe give us a sense of, you know, how those will sort of, you know, pan out?
Well, clearly they're fixed costs, so they're not easy to stop. So we are in the process of dealing with that to see how we can limit costs. You know, this is like overnight kind of stuff. So we're still in the process of seeing how we can reduce. But we've arranged facilities to be able to weather the storm. The key issue on fixed costs is really around labor. Clearly, you know, your electricity, water, all those things go down. But we are in the process of assessing that. Because it's like, it's just too fresh, and we're doing the same thing with South Africa in terms of ability to, you know, what the cost structure is going to be in the next couple of weeks. So no difference to there. I mean, you might have seen Vegas overnight has been shut down, the whole of Vegas. I mean, MGM had already closed, but it's slightly different being a destination casino, no one's flying in, but they have closed. So the reality is we've got a lot of work still to do there and see how we reduce costs. We have done all the same things in terms of CapEx, in terms of contracts, in terms of, you know, staff we're starting to talk to about taking leave and all those things and reduce costs. So don't have all the answers right now, but it is something that's a key focus of ours.
Yeah. Just coming back to South Africa, I mean, what would be your exposure to offshore tourist arrivals?
It's primarily around the Table Bay and a little bit at Sun City. But, you know, the bigger consequence is a knock on sort of the economy in terms of lack of arrival. So it's not that big for us, but it doesn't have a long-term knock-on impact. But certainly from us, it's the Table Bay, which is a high percentage of international arrivals, and then a little bit at the Palace. It's not that significant. Casinos is very small. Our primary impact, as I said, is the Table Bay and then a little bit at the Palace.
Okay, thank you.
Next question is from Pallavi Ambakar from Coronation Fund Managers. Please go ahead.
Hi, Anthony. Thank you for the call. I just have a question on the tax rate. Firstly, just in your detail on the reconciliation of the tax, I see there's a utilization of the tax losses not previously recognized. Can you just comment on whether this is once off or does it repeat again next year? Just so that we can get a sense of what the sustainable tax rate is. And then just a second question related to the tax would be the additional LATAM income tax payable by South Africa. If you can just give us some detail and color on that.
If we look at the tax losses already, the big one-off is the prior year recognition of deferred tax asset relating to Times Square. That is out of adjusted earnings. That's the prior year portion. Then there was the current year portion, which is obviously in our earnings, in terms of the current year's losses that we get to offset against the assets. So we could raise the deferred tax credits. So the amounts are in the analysis there. Norman, you got the amounts?
Yeah.
We didn't recognize the full deferred tax asset at Times Square, but we recognized as much as we could realize. Going forward, you know, we're hoping we can continue to improve profitability and recognize the full loss, but it was quite a big element in terms of profitability.
Yeah, so the total tax asset that was recognized through the P&L was 233 million. And as Anthony indicated, 192 million of that was related to the prior years. And then on an ongoing basis, you know, depending on the taxable income, in the current year, what related to the current year was 41 million.
Then on the additional income tax relating to Chile, it's effectively what it is. Basically, authorities, we've had this as a contingent liability in our financials for a few years. They are taxing us on what they regard as non-essential expenditure, which is basically our comps on food and beverage. The way they see it is that there is not a direct link between those comps and revenue in terms of the Tax Act. It is the way the casinos, you all know, do business around the world. The tax law in Chile was quite a little bit stringent in terms of the direct cause. And there's been a few other cases on this. We're the only ones being targeted by the Chilean authorities this year. They haven't targeted anybody else, not this year, it's been a few years making. It really is old ones going back quite a while. And we believe that the stance of the regulators actually reduced that sort of need to be the direct cause. Because even marketing, you go put a billboard up, well, do your sales go up with the billboard? So even there, the Tax Act has been changed recently because they all know it's wrong. The issue with Chile is that they've got to keep going. Now, we lost the case in two courts. We're now at the appeal court, Supreme Court, And our lawyers are still kind of optimistic that we should still win it. But in terms of the new accounting standards, we had to provide for it. You know, I've lost my optimism because it seems so ridiculous. And everyone you speak to says it's ridiculous, but it's something we are faced with. And we haven't paid the money yet, but certainly we're going to be doing it. This case was around when we did the Dreams merger, hence why we have to carry the can on it. Because the Chile is not, because it one of those warranties we gave in terms of the merger agreement.
Thank you. And then, sorry, if I can just have another question. I know it's a bit too early to talk about the impact of the coronavirus on the casino business in SA, but given what we've seen that LATAM has shut down you've had to shut down your casinos, and then also you mentioned Las Vegas as well, also shutting down. Do you anticipate that happening here, and what are your plans if that does happen?
Listen, Toby, I'm guessing, and I think we all be guessing to say what's going to happen. The plans, we're obviously planning for it. So it's what I said. We're just busy analyzing every single, you know, going into details of the cost, going into details in every sort of line, what we can do, talking to sort of starting to talk to the unions. Obviously we reduced to 120 hours. We've even suspended increases for people. So we're doing everything we can, and we have to make plans as it unfolds. So I'm not going to speculate, oh, this is going to happen. I think we can all speculate around that. But certainly we're planning potentially for a closure, and that means, you know, what queues down south, what security, what cleaning, how do you manage it, sort of reducing all costs. Those plans are underway at each property, and we're busy reviewing those.
Are you talking to the banks in terms of servicing your debt and how that will go about if you close?
Yeah, we've spoken to all the banks already. In terms of closure, we've got to have a full plan for them, and that's what we're busy preparing to go. So we've spoken to the banks about where we are and the impact, and we're going to have to go the next round in terms of saying, this is the kind of impact, this is what we believe it could have on the covenants, this is where it's going to be, we're going to have those conversations in the next week. So right now, again, for those investors, I've cancelled all calls this afternoon. You know, we've got other things to do. After this call, we have to get on all those sort of issues that you are busy dealing with.
Thank you, Anthony.
We have a follow-up question from Khosi Rahube from Citi. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. So just two more questions. With regards to the covenant, I believe that the agreement was due to drop to about 3 times in 2020. Is that correct? From 3.5?
Yeah, it drops in December this year.
That's correct. So you're right, Percy. Before our refinancing of our debt, as we indicated, for the December measurement period, that went by, we would have been at 3 times. So as part of our refinancing and discussions and negotiations with the bank, we actually increased that to 3.5. Now, that 3.5 is in place until the third quarter measurement period of this year, being September. Our December 2020 measurement period, we then revert back to 3 times.
Okay, that's useful. And then just maybe the last question. I'm not sure if I missed any comment around your court challenge with regards to your two licenses in Chile.
I don't think I touched on it. The court challenge, we lost both, okay, and on the basis was this was the judge's ruling. He basically said it's not the SCJ that's the regulator's responsibility to build the project, it's the applicant. Now, the applicant hasn't got planning approval. Now, in the case of Portovirus, they've been turned down 6 times for the changes they want, okay, so they haven't been able to start there. In the case of Coquimbo, they have been told they've actually submitted a new project, entirely new project in a different venue, which the regulator has approved, and there we have been challenged again. I mean, it's bizarre. In the case of Portovirus, our view is we're going to keep trading there for quite a long time because Enjoy has not got the money to start building and to change, and we're quite confident that they're not going to get building approval on their current site. Now, do they go and launch a new project? I think in the current environment, Enjoy won't see the next 10 days out. I don't know who's going to fund them. They're already at huge debt to EBITDA. So with this closure, I don't know if government bails them out or what they do, but there's no doubt they've got some bigger challenge than us than Portovirus to deal with.
Okay, thank you.
Norman and Anthony, we have no further questions. Do you have any closing comments before we conclude?
Yeah, look, I can assure the investigator we're doing all we can. We understand the urgency. You know, we're not fools in terms of what's happening. We understand everything that has to happen, and I can tell you the managing team is entirely focused on it. It's hard to predict day to day. I think every day you wake up and you've got to think of things have changed, and it's changed very rapidly. Norman and I were in Chile 2 weeks ago. There was one case in Chile, one case in South Africa, and we all know where it is today. There was no measures to curb anything, and again, where we are today. So this is rapidly unfolding, but we really are very active in terms of doing what we can and making sure we secure the business and can continue to operate post this and doing everything we can. But thanks, everyone, for dialing in. We will be available for calls. I think, in a couple of days, we've got quite a lot to get on with. We really are focusing internally, but I will be available, and both Norman and I, for further calls or follow-ups from any investors. Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes today's conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.